And really, it was 3 weeks ago that I even asked you that the last time. Somebody came up to me afterward and said, I didn't follow you the first couple weeks. I get what you were saying now. I had to let go where I was focused. When I listened to what you were saying, it made sense, okay? Can you remember anything? It was 3 weeks ago. So when you think about what would be evidence that we're loving God? Do you remember anything we were talking about or just what comes to your mind with that? Yeah, Jim, what are you thinking?
You know where that's coming from.
Yeah, no, totally. Getting out of our own little kingdom, thinking on the big kingdom. How does that happen? How does that happen? If we're talking about loving God, and then, yes, that is saying that. I've been tripping on Paul Tripp for a while here with that, a quest for more. So he's definitely talking about getting out of our little kingdom, okay? You see that with any of your little kids. They live focused where they're focused. When they're mad, you hear about it. When they're happy, you hear about it, all right? When they don't want to do something, you hear about it, all right? So getting out of a little kingdom, focusing on the big kingdom, all right? How do you do that? How do we grow in love? What does love for God look like? What? Obedience. Okay. Obedience, okay? I'm down to three kids, so now it gets easier for you to figure out who I'm talking about. Remember I told you one of my kids looked at my youngest kid, so I won't mention his name, all right, and said, I think he needs hearing aids. I think he needs hearing aids. So it's like, well, and I look at him. I said, and you know I'm a loud one, so I said, you don't want me raising my voice. I said, do you realize this is the third or fourth time I've said it? He's like, no, didn't hear yet. Well, then I got to figure out, does he need hearing aids? He might, okay? But then you turn around and you say things that he likes, and all of a sudden, whoop, he heard you. He heard you. Why didn't he hear? Yes, we say selective. But when you say obedience, yes, you know, if you love me, you keep my commandments, right? And you go, oh, that's so cold, all right? But then you start thinking through that. Why does it make sense that if you love God, you'll obey him? Why does that make sense? And why isn't it cold? Nicole.
Well, I'm going to say that we hear what we're attuned to. So it's the thing of like, I'm listening for that information. I'm listening for that conversation. I'm listening for that hopeful, joyful thing. Everything like we hear what we're already attuned, looking to hear.
You hear that? You hear. See, this is the big problem in the church, right? All right. Jonathan had the youth group hear clips from John Piper on the "Don't Waste Your Life" sermon, right? Was that it? What was it? How God made me happy in him. You know that Piper's known for his statement, that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. He talks about Christian hedonism. People have argued about that for years. They go, no, we're not supposed to be pleasure seekers. We're not supposed to be pleasure seekers. And John Piper had this problem, okay? What was the two things? All right, I want to live for God's glory, right? But what do I do with my personal happiness, all right? And you go, well, they're supposed to be together, but what if they're not, okay? Slightly related is, what if my dreams for life are different than God's, all right? Which is why, if we're not careful, we go, well, if he made me to be satisfied, and I feel like I'm going the opposite direction when I follow him, what a miserable life. All right? It seems that happiness could be opposed to living for God's glory. Unfortunately, when you have a lot of people going, yeah, I know, I should, fine. Jesus died for me, so the least I can do is show up at church. The least I could do is read my Bible. The least I could do is pay attention. The least I can do is love you. The least I can do is be patient and not blow up. All right? The least I could do. And finally, we blow up because we're not attuned, all right, to the voice of God. We're not listening for that, which is why we're easily distracted. We're easily distracted. It isn't just attention deficit disorder. It's a restlessness, all right? Remember I told you years ago, Stouffer kids never watch TV. They come over to my house, and we put on a TV, all right? You remember I told you that? You could run a truck in front of them. They were glued. They never seen TV. So they were glued. And you go, yeah, that's, I know. That's why we're going to keep the TV away from everybody. Good luck with that, all right? Just wait till your kid gets in the hospital for the first time and you have to go home. And they get to watch that TV all night long. All right? Doesn't take long to undo whatever you've done for whatever years. But they're glued. Why are they glued? You go, it's addictive. Okay, well, what else? What are you addicted to? Where does your mind go? It's natural. If you love God, you could say if you love something, but if you love God, that you will be attuned to Him, that you'll listen to Him. What, anything else with that? Yeah, Tracy, what are you thinking?
Well, like you kept on saying, the least I can do.
Yes.
The least I can do.
If it's green.
Is it? Okay.
Then
the
go.
Least I can do, and you kept saying that.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. The
Come on.
Least you can do.
Right.
Love is sacrifice.
There. Right. Right. All right. So you get in Romans 5, right? Where it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mike over here, Jim. Okay, Mike's there, and then there's another Mike over here. Okay, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. See, when you're thinking the least I can do, you think, you look in your pocket and you go, well, here, I have a dollar. Okay, here, you can have it. But see, that's all you got. If the love of God has been poured out in your heart, you're like you're trying to take it all in, and you have plenty to share. See, that's why love from God leads to love to others, which brings glory to God, because you didn't love them. It was a received love. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us. See, to you, I grant love, that you should be called children of God. Children of God, not brats of God, right? Because that's what you slightly think. You think, I can never obey Him. You know, are you mad at me again? Are you mad at me? No, Jesus died. Well, they go, if He's not mad for me, then shut up. I can do whatever I want. Well, that's why you go back to, no, you obey Him because you love Him. And that's my problem. Maybe we don't love Him like we think. And, you know, I'm not trying to make you just feel guilty. I'm saying if you could prove you don't love Him like you think, well, now the Bible tells you what to do, right? Now there's plenty of places to say, that call us to see His acts that are lovely, okay? And then it tells us to respond to that love. But God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before the commands come, the miracle of God to open our eyes to see the work of God. That's why we must behold the beauty of the Lord. That's why we're coming to behold our God. That's why Megan 3 years ago talks in the women's fellowship about, hey, you know, what did you name 5 of your kids from that class? Or no, it wasn't one of them. Yeah, no, I knew it was one of them. And they were impacted by this study. So she told you to listen to it, but that was 3 years ago, so I had to remind you, okay? Because we're going to come back and do that. You have to live in the face of God. My thing is, and when others go, well, yeah, let's just do that course and we'll fix it, I'm not sure that we're tuned, all right, to get the most out of those things until we have a hunger for God. And you go, well, some of us do. That's the problem. You need to be concerned for any in here that don't hunger as much as you. And what's the process of us growing together? You know, we're listening to that. We're talking about that in Ephesians 4 now. You're not loving the head of the church if you're not concerned for the rest of the people of God to be growing in that love as well. And that's the messy part of relationships. Okay? So if they all go, that's why they're tied together. It's not two separate commands, you know, love God, then love your neighbor. Those that love God, it plays out. You cannot love God if you are not loving me. If you're not loving him. And yes, 1 John, Jim's swimming in that, which is one of the reasons we memorized that one at least twice. That you want proof? Love me. When you say, I can't stand you, well, then you're going to have to go to him to see. Remember I told you? Don't come to me. Hold God's hand and see what he wants to do in my life. Right? And then I'll hold God's hand and see what does he call me to do in your life. I'm not God in your life, but I'm part of his process of seeing Christ formed in you. So when Tracy's right. When you're saying the least we can do, it means you don't have anything. You're not getting anything from God, so you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm really, really tired. I really got a lot of things to do. But yes, you know, it's like, how many of those calls do you guys answer? You know, the police call asking for money and the cancer people ask for money, and right? And you feel like a real jerk, especially you're at Walmart or something, go, well, do you have we just round up to the next dollar? And then we can go around in here. How many of you say yes? How many of you say no? Well, I say no. Because I've decided where I want to give money, okay? But somewhere, you know, all of a sudden you turn around and all of a sudden you got cancer and they show up with a check for whatever, you think, whoa, maybe I should have given my 53 cents to that organization, right? If you're attuned to it, if you're receiving love, you're more willing to obey. In order to do that, you have to listen. Jonathan and Sandy.
I was thinking on the little Nine Marks book on prayer,
yes.
And they have a section where he's going through the Lord's Prayer as a model for how we should pray, and they talk about praying, "Thy kingdom come,
yes, yes,
thy will be done." And I think when we pray, we usually are kind of subconsciously thinking in that direction, like, well, we want to glorify God, but it's really easy to slip into praying in a way that's not saying thy kingdom come, thy will be done, but build my kingdom.
Yes.
And in seeking to build God's kingdom. And in the same way, like when we're looking to grow and live for God's glory, to to know him, it's really easy to try to do that in a way that is it's our way, not God's way. We think, okay, these are the things I need to learn to glorify God better, and these are the things I need the pastor to preach on or whatever. But we're looking at our kingdom being built, not God's. And
right.
I mean, you see that that same thing with what was the VBS thing we did this year? Elijah, yeah.
Good.
And right yes. after that part with the fire coming down and everything, he's in a place where he's terrified. But after God did everything for him, and he runs into this problem where he's so zealous for God, but he wants God's purposes and things to be played out. But really, he wants God to use him, and he's like, "Look, God, this is a perfect situation
yeah.
to make your glory known."
Right.
And God's like, I'm going to do it, but not that way.
Right.
And as much as you really want to live for me, you're wanting it to be done in the way you have it planned out, not how I have it planned out. And so as
right.
we approach learning about God and taking
loving
on God's
God.
Values,
yeah.
we need to remember that, well, that his ways are higher than ours. And like all scripture is profitable for teaching. So how can we approach accepting
right.
everything here is valuable. What can I learn from it, even if it's not what I think is important?
Right, right. And that's why Dad and I have been talking about that as we talk. What seemed to be different before, that now, all right, he's not perfect, he's not the best, I'm not perfect, I'm not the best. Remember a few weeks ago he said, I think when John's saying preachers don't have to hit a home run, he's trying to excuse my preaching because people don't think I hit a home run. I said, Dad, it isn't just about your preaching with that. I think I get nervous when any of you say, thank you, John David, for a sermon, because I think, okay, that one hits you. None of the rest do. And you heard three other sermons on your way to church that were more valuable to you than what you heard here. Then it calls into question whether it's the how and the method that's more important than the words at the center. We were looking at God's work. Could he learn to do things better? Yeah. You know, could I learn? Yeah. On the other side, do you really want to live up to that standard where everybody gets to go? And, you know, I've made jokes about that, you know, about who makes the best mashed potatoes in here. And you go, well, that's your opinion. Well, could we all agree that those were the worst potatoes in here, right? See, we could do that. But then when we get to the best, you go, no. And that's why they have fairs, right? So you go to the fair and get ribbons. And they said I was the best, all right? They said my potatoes were the best, right? But see, that's where we're pretty independent. I don't know what you're talking about, John David, but you take your rolling pin and say, get out of my kitchen. In here, I know what I'm doing, right? But so you say that everywhere. Get out of my garage. Don't touch my tools. You know, right? We have different places where you say, this is where, this is my kingdom, right? Right? Not a fan of all those news guys, but I can't forget Jesse Waters. I am Waters, and this is my world. This is my world, he says. Okay? But see, that's what Jonathan's saying. If you're not careful, even Elijah, and we would all love to be Elijah, was so busy saying, I'm the only one left. He goes, no, there's 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You're so focused on, well, I'm trying to be faithful. Nobody around me is faithful. I tried to stand for the glory of God. This is how you repay me? Jezebel says, you're going to be dead. Like, you're going to be like one of my prophets of Baal. Tomorrow. And he's looking, he goes, I want to live beyond tomorrow. So he runs, right? It was like, what, you know, and where is God in that? And you say, well, you got to understand he had a bad day, right? Because we all have bad days. What we're saying, though, is at that point, he was not sensitive to the words of God. And you go, well, we all struggle. I got it. But don't you want to hear his words? See, if you want to hear, then you won't be so. Everybody's like, stop talking about sin. Okay, all right? So I talk about poop in here. I said, we all do it every day, but then you flush it, right? We don't want to talk about it. I have pastors' fellowship, right? They're talking about things that go on in their church. One of them flashed the picture of the church toilet with poop spilled all over it and said, I came into the service this morning, and this is what I had to deal with. You get all the other pastors' reaction. Here is their story, and it's like I'm puking just looking at this because he had a picture of it all over the place. It was caked on, and it was gross. Well, see, that's what happens in our lives, right? You get sin that builds up, and it's caked on, and it's gross. You're embarrassed of it, all right? You can't get rid of it. You've tried everything. You don't want anybody else to see it. You let five other people deal with it, and it's a mess. And and all of a sudden, God's words are impotent. There's nothing there. You hear it, but it's not for you. Do you think Jonah in the boat, he disobeyed God's words, but he still honored God as God. You know, how do you say that? How do you say he honored God as God, but disobeyed his words, right? And you know that because as soon as they go, does anybody know why this is happening? He goes, yeah, me. I know why this is happening, right? Elijah, you know, I'm thinking, you say, there's so much anxiety and depression. You go, well, don't mock my pain. No, but maybe we have to look and say, maybe we're so busy controlling what it looks like to be happy and satisfied that we cannot see the God who will satisfy. Maybe we're so busy telling God and the people around us. Finally, we say, I just don't want to deal with people. I want to deal with it anymore. Okay, we're getting to the point over here where we force every bite down, and when do you stop? And you finally say, if you stop eating, you're done. Well, then I'm done. Then I'm done. And you say, well, okay, time's up. Okay, but what about you? Do you get to decide when your time's up? In Psalm 139, it says, he knew the days that were written for us before there was any of them. He decides when your time's up. With my time, which means I got to live in an understanding way, all right, and care, right? How would you care for me when I'm discouraged? How would you care for her, for him? You go, well, it's none of my business. See, that's what we're wrestling with. We say it is your business. That's what we're working towards. So we, if we're going to say, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, God has to determine the way that we become satisfied in him and the way his glory is seen. Okay? Sandy, what are you thinking?
I don't know if I'm going to say anything that hasn't already been said,
but
in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to love God,
yes,
we have to see who he is. And sin distorts our view of God.
Right.
So we have to be willing to look at that sin. And I'm going to steal from Pastor's thought from Paul Tripp.
Yeah.
Awe of God is fear-producing, inspiring, motivating, convicting, and commitment-producing. There's no replacement for this.
Read it again.
Awe of God is fear-producing, inspiring, motivating, convicting, and commitment-producing.
There is no replacement
for this. So until we see him for who he is and for that, all that he deserves.
All right. What is wrong with us that every time there's a new baby or a toddler, right? Right? Like, all right. Good luck under 6 months. All right? But 6 months on, and all the moms get mad at me. All right? But after 6 months, every adult's running around going, she smiled at me. Well, all your moms say the two-month-old ones do too. But, okay. All right. But after a while, 6, 8 months, right? You go, she smiled at me. He smiled at me, right? And we all feel happy if they smile at you. And you all feel like, what's wrong with me if they don't, right? My kid's watching the neighbor kid, right? They bring the neighbor kid over, right? So when I'm sitting at the table and the kid sees me, he runs away, right? Well, then everybody does like they do with their dog. You know, when you do with a dog, they go, don't worry, he doesn't bite, right? And then so my kid tries to console me, right? Don't worry, Dad, he doesn't hate you, all right? I was like, well, so what is there inside of us that thinks, I want the attention? If this kid would just smile at me, my life would be complete, right? Well, you go, no. Good. So then you like when they all cry at you, right? See, if you're not careful, if we're not seeing him clearly, we're afraid of the one that we should be trusting. We're going to run away from the one. And you say, I'm not running away from him. Yes, you are when you're not sensitive to his words. Right back at me. All right. Was there another mic? And then I want to prove this. All right. Let's just do it. Remember those Jeremiah verses? How about read Jeremiah 13:10? I read them all 1 week, and then when I read them a couple weeks ago, somebody goes, "Yeah, that made sense." So just read it. 13:10-11. Go, somebody's there. Yep. Keep going. Renown. Yes. And here, read verse 17, Sandy. Here. Okay, what can you get just from those two verses, 10 and 11? All right. 10 and 11. 17 is, or 16 said, give glory to God. Give glory to God. Listen to his words. 17, if you won't, look at your pride. Okay, but what can you learn in 10 or 11? Why didn't they listen? You like that waistband thing, you think it doesn't fit, and then you go back. It's a neat little illustration there before that, if you read that. All right, talk to Tim. Tim has been memorizing Jeremiah. Okay, I think he has most of it learned, and that's why he starts quoting when we talk about Jeremiah. There's rich things in here. But what do you learn about why they didn't listen in 10 and 11? I'll be profound. Just give me what you gave me. What your first thoughts? Yes, yeah, Sandy. Okay, the stubbornness of their heart, so they say it again?
They're not getting something from God that they want, so they're looking for it elsewhere.
Okay, that's the thing. That's the thing. And that's why I say, you know, when you go, you know, when you go, why does my kid not listen? Okay? All right? Sometimes they're willfully disobeying you, okay? Sometimes they don't understand you, all right? Because you're equating, if you heard me, you would do it, all right? That fits. That's Matthew 7. The one who hears the words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, all right? So hearing and doing go together, John 3:36. All right, if you believe in me, you'll have life. He who does not obey the Son will not see life. Belief and obedience go together. All right, so sometimes they didn't hear you. Sometimes they didn't understand you. Okay, and sometimes they didn't agree with you. Or, no, hear you. Sometimes they willfully stand against. Sometimes they don't understand. Sometimes they just disagree with you. They disagree with you. Remember, we don't sin because we have to. We sin because we want to. Sin isn't what I determine is wrong or you determine. Sin is, it separates us from God. The wages of sin is death. In him, 1 John 1 says, is no darkness at all. Right? We say we have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness. So sin isn't you are a bad girl, bad boy. Sin is I'm broken apart from God. That's the problem. When you're so focused on the sin, that's what makes us in moralism, right? At the church I went to on vacation at night, he said, we're suffering from recovering from looking after moralism for a long time. That means even if it's right, even because God said it, you're so focused on the right or wrong that you're not focused on the God maintaining fellowship with God who is over. And that's where sometimes you're so focused on somebody's wrong that you can't see the process they need to walk with God. They don't need to stop their wrong. They need to want to walk with God. That will deal with the wrong. So there's stubbornness of their heart. There's something that they want that God's not giving. There's something. All right? What else did you hear? Yeah, go, Araceli.
If you were in the...
Yes.
If you were in the Word all the time, if you were really... your heart is telling you to get to know him more.
Right.
Then you don't have to. It's like... Today, I was not almost coming.
Coming, yes.
Because?
Yes.
Because Satan is after me.
Right, there's other words that are speaking louder than God's words.
Yes, and then you know what happened?
What happened?
He says, I'm not going to let Satan get the best out of me. I'm going to go to church.
Right.
And then I found out that my tires, they need air.
They need air.
And then the two gas stations, they didn't
have air.
And then, but like, oh, still I'm going to go even if I'm late. But he didn't get it. But is it just because I'm trying to stay more in his word to learn more about
right.
him so I can hear from him what to do next?
Right.
And if I make a sin or I do a sin or
right.
even the thought, the
right.
thinking, I repent. I ask him, thank you for making it to in front of me and
yes.
I move on.
Right. Remember, I told you which one is worse, the world, the flesh, or the devil. All of them are speaking against the words of God, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We all focus on a different one. And I said, you need, the answer isn't to figure out which one of them is the worst. The best is when there's a hunger to say, I need God's words and I need them explained so that I can walk in them. And no, you don't need to understand everything. You just need to know this is the voice of God. I'm thinking about people for years that sat in the pews that weren't dead. All right, let's just pick on my grandfather, okay? His father, right? He loved the Lord. He'd, you know, preach. His Bible's all marked up. Didn't have a lot of education with things. All right, you think you don't understand what we're talking about in here? I don't think he would understand what we were talking about in here. But I'll tell you what, it wouldn't bother him. Because he was so busy loving God, loving his word, and seeking to serve him, that he could sit in here and go, it's valuable for somebody in here understands, And God put these people up here, and they're trying to protect us. They're trying to lead us. They're trying to help us grow. But he wasn't solely dependent on it just coming perfectly in their love language from the pulpit, that he continued reading God's word, marking it up, and his uneducated way. Okay, and I'm saying that not to mock him. I'm saying he was content. He was growing. He realized the power of sin in his own life, had a heart that wanted God to be working on him. I could still remember as he got older, and he used to give a testimony every Sunday night. Nobody else did. So when he did, you know, somebody came up to him and said, well, I look forward to when you come visit because you give a testimony, all right, or something. And I remember him apologizing to her. I'm sorry. And next time he did give a testimony. But it doesn't mean you have to always do it that way in a public way. But he wanted to live on display for the glory of God. Okay? That was his focus, not, I don't get this. If I don't get this, it's not worth it for anybody. I don't see the value in it. All right? He is able to say, I need the words of God. So the stubbornness of their heart, all right, how it pulled them away like a ruined waistband. All right, you read the beginning of the chapter. I'm not going to read it for you. Find out where that waistband fits in. Okay? You guys were made to cling to me, but the stubbornness of your heart pulled you away from me. See that? Was there anybody else? Okay. All right, then go to 32, 33. Read it. These are all similar, but if you remember, I read like 15 out of just Jeremiah. 32, 33, read it. Jeremiah 32, 33. Yes.
And not their face.
Yes.
Though I taught them.
Yeah.
Teach them again and again. They would not listen and receive instruction.
Right. Though I taught them teaching again and again, they would not listen and receive instruction. You have to ask, why wouldn't they listen? Right. I love Michael Card has a song like that. Will you not listen? Why won't you listen? God has spoken peace to us. Why will you not listen? God has spoken love to us. Why will you not listen? You have to think about it. Instead of going, yeah, stupid people who don't listen, like Jonathan said, look at Elijah. Look at all the good guys. All right? But see, they received correction. You don't have to go, they were flawed. Look what they did. All right? And Elijah, that was a little rough, as that was at the end of his life. And I always wonder other things that we don't know about these prophets beside what was given to us of where they were faithful to God, let alone where they weren't. All right? How about Jeremiah 35, 14 to 16? Go on, somebody use your best Go Phillies voice. Keep going, Brian. One more. Yeah. Look at the end at verse 19, all right? Well, 18, all right? Then Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, your father, kept all his commands, done according to all he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me always. What's interesting about 14 to 16 there? What can you add to what we're saying about not listening? You're looking for reasons why, all right? Because we all find people that say, they're not even listening to me. And you go, well, they're just rebellious, or they're just a different personality, or they're just, well, whatever it is. In the Bible, you don't have that option, all right? You're either with God or not. You're either obeying him or you're not. You don't have that option to go, well, he's not speaking my love language. He's not speaking in a way I don't understand. You don't have that option. So what do you learn about not listening in 14 to 16? What else is going on? Sheldon, go. Come on. Okay. Their heart is not here. See, remember, I told you John Piper wrote Desiring God, and it blew people away. That was where he got his name, I think. I think that was the book that put him on a map, all right? But then everybody said, I feel terrible, because the more I read this, I'm not even in that ballpark. The more, if this is what desiring God looks like, back to the quote that Sandy read from Paul Tripp, if this is what desiring God, I thought I desired God, but if this is what desiring God means, then I don't desire God. Well, now what do? And then he writes the next book, When I Don't Desire God. Okay? Now, I haven't read it. Maybe you can go ahead and read it. But somebody told me what it was filled with was pretty much the spiritual disciplines of being in God's Word, all right, of communing with Him in prayer. See, if you're not praying during the week for specific things for your soul, let alone an expanding vision for the glory of God to be seen around the world, see, then you don't have a living relationship with God. You just have rights and wrongs. See, you got to think. It's not just, I should pray more. Remember that you will pray when you have need, right? That's why the last thing people say, whether they're going to heaven or hell, is, oh my God, before they hit a deer or crash or something like that. It comes. And you can say, are they swearing? Are they taking God's name lightly? I don't know, but they're saying there's something here that's beyond what I can do, and I can't think of anything else. Oh my God. All right? Well, how about God be merciful to me, the sinner, right? But also, that same book that Jonathan's talking about, that Nine Marks One about prayer by John Onomachekwa or whatever his name is, okay? He said prayer is like breathing, all right? Spiritual breathing, all right? You're not breathing. You're not praying, all right? So you don't need to just pray because I'm nervous about that. I get on my mom about that. She wants you to pray more. I said, yeah, but Mom, who are they praying to? If they're not connected, if they don't see God rightly, like Sandy was saying, then you're praying to the wrong God for the wrong things. You need to pray, but you need to take my yoke and learn of me. Matthew 11:28. The facts need to come in, and the facts need to lead you to repentance and worship, and then I can breathe again. Your heart. When I don't desire, see, that's why I was saying, I'm not the best teacher, all right? Pastor's not the best. You know, maybe don't like Tim either, all right? In other church, the same issues are going on. I told you what makes me bolder in here when I find people other personalities than me, and they're saying the same things I'm saying about what's hard in church, saying the exact same things, meaning we are so focused on what we think we want and need, and we try to have God our own way, okay? And you're not receiving breath from God. You need to behold your God. But it's going to take work. When he says it's all showing where their heart is. See, before you used to say that kid needs a whooping. Now you go, well, whooping is abuse, so you don't whoop. All right, then what do? You say, well, no, you need to listen to the kid. You need to understand them. Okay, sometimes you do. See, we're all out of balance somewhere, and we all shake our head and go, they need to. Good luck with that. You need all of it, and then beyond that, you realize it's a miracle. If I can take another heart and help that heart, I can make them mind when they're 1, 2, 4, 5. But what happens later? How do you change your desires? All right? That's what we're talking. You know the prophets are going to say, rend your heart and not your garments. You know also he's going to say, though, you tithe mint, dill, and cumin. The smallest little spices you give back to God. You're so scrupulous about how what you think right worship is. He said, but instead you should have had love, righteousness, and whatever, faithfulness. He said, you should have done the latter without neglecting the former. They're both there. The disciplines, the obedience, all right? But your character is changing because of the one you're with. Bad company corrupts good character. You are to be in fellowship with God. The Spirit of God dwells in you, or you're not His. Their hearts. Anything else that you learn from this? Where is it, Jim?
If my heart is right, in any circumstance, I'm going to add to what Jonathan says, a quote from John Piper's book. We're supposed to give God the glory and enjoy him forever. If you remember that phrase in Future Grace.
Yes.
How do we enjoy God's fellowship? By making our heart right, focused on him. In any circumstance.
Yes, right. And that's why the testing of your faith produces endurance. You won't know until something stands in your way of God's words whether you love God or not. And you say, okay, then I don't love God. Well, then fall on your face before God. Say, break me. That's why churches in the past didn't have any problem for saying, such a wretch as I. They didn't have, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. They weren't sitting there beating on themselves. They were saying, clean this out, right? Some of you guys wash your cars all the time. Some of you just like to have people writing on your cars, right? Okay. But those of you that like it clean, all right? That you clean, you say, I can't drive in this. I don't want to be seen in this, all right? But that you say, break down every idol, cast out every foe. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You realize God can clean you. I want to be clean, right? So that's the heart that we want. That's why he says a broken and contrite heart. He's not looking and saying, get down, you fool. Get down, you fool. The broken and contrite heart is saying, I'm needy. You have what I need. I come. I come for cleansing. I come for healing. I come for understanding. I come, and it says, remember, like a nursing babe, or even like a sheep. He carries us in his arms. Carries us in his arms. See, when you have these desires, then what's the response? Well, that was the 1 Peter 1, 10. I'm just going to read these quickly. If you get there, good luck. 1 Peter 1, 10. As to this, all right, though you have not seen him, you love him. Verse 8, chapter 1 Peter 1, 8. Though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. You could study that 1 Peter 1, and you go, well, yeah, I don't have that. Okay, well, that's why this discussion is important. How do you get there? So you don't just say, I'm not part of that attitude. But look, those that had that attitude, verse 10, as to this great salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, right? Grace, that's the Romans 5 grace, right? The love of God poured out in our hearts. The prophets who prophesied the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries. Why did they make careful searches? Because their hearts listened to God's word. They valued God's word, the opposite of all those Jeremiah ones. All right, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you. Well, did you see what happened? Instead of a narrow depression, anxiety, my desires, stubbornness of my heart, instead of a narrowing world, their world expanded way past themselves to us. To us. For them, it was 1,000 years after. For us, they're 3,000 years after some of these prophets. It expands to us. They were serving us in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel. Do you preach the gospel? That was the other thing. You want a word from God? Over and over in those Jeremiah ones, it said, I sent my prophets. I sent my prophets. Many times, the word of God comes to you through other men and women. Yeah, the word of the devil comes through other men and women. The word of the flesh comes through other men and women. And the word of God is often coming through other men and women. So be careful of, even when you go, I'm studying on my own. Yes, and who is evaluating what you're studying? Well, the people that I trust. Well, who are the people that I trust? See, if you're not careful, it's a circle where you're accumulating people that are just like you. Just like you. You don't want people just like you. You want people that are more and more like God. And that's why the church is a collection of people that God puts together. All right, I messed up because I didn't write down the scripture reading. I'm trying to make the scripture reading different. We've only repeated a few passages in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm trying to get as far, most around the Word of God as we can, a passage that will complement what he's preaching. I thought we did 1 Corinthians 12 a few weeks ago, but it wasn't written down, so I forgot to write it in my little Excel database. So you're going to hear it again this morning. All right? As we talk about the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. All right? God has placed each member as he saw fit. Every time you think, I don't fit in here, you have to think, what? Well, do you fit with him? If you fit with him, then you get life from him. And now listen to the Ephesians thing. As it talks about the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love, it's going to talk not about growth from the pastors only. They were pastors and teachers, apostles and prophets, were for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ, right? According to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body. This isn't just you working. Your work must contribute to the growth of the body. That's what you hear here in 1 Peter 10. People that are sensitive to God's word. So remember, we said Luke 24, the men on the road to Emmaus, they looked to Jesus. They were looking for Jesus, right? They were sad because they forgot his words. Remember that? In Luke 24, he said, don't you remember? O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. See, they couldn't even hear Jesus. He said, I have spoken. I gave you what was needed through the prophets for your hearts not to be sad. The more sensitive you are, you don't take that as a mean spanking. You say, that was a gift. I want to listen again to the words you have already spoken. Then you come and you hear these examples. Remember, we went to Luke 2 and we looked at Simeon and Anna. Men, women who are waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the peace of Israel, right? All right, that peace that had been promised the people of God. They were waiting because they believed God's words. Remember I told you that when I was a little kid, you couldn't wait to go to somebody else's house. Somebody said they promised they'd pick me up at 2, you know. Well, at noon, you're sitting at the front door waiting for these people to pick you up, right? And God forbid they called and said, oh, sorry, my car broke down. I can't come today. That happened a few times in my childhood. That wrecked my day. I've been looking forward forever to going to your house. Okay? That's what they're saying. They trusted the words of God and were waiting because they knew it would take place. They loved God. And that's where in Ephesians 3, I'm just going to read this as I close because this gets us up to that next question. Ephesians 3, 7. The miracle of the gospel is not just the gospel. All the work that God did to send Jesus to bring us to himself, that's not just the miracle. The gospel is grounded by the person and work of Jesus, but the miracle of the gospel is God opening our eyes to the riches of Christ. Ephesians 3, 7 to 10. The gospel of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. So that the manifold witness, the many-colored witness of wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. And then you combine that with 2 Corinthians 4, where it says, light shall shine out of darkness. That is the God who is shown in our hearts. Lord, would you help us to see the miracle? The miracle of us just saying, look, sometimes I understand what's being taught, sometimes I don't, but here's what I understand. I am not the center of my world. I'm a created being. And you have made me. And you have not left us without witness. You have come and made yourself known to mankind. Even in the face of our spurning you, you've called. Thank you. Not only for the ministry of condemnation those prophets had, but for their calling back even in the midst of years and years of disobedience, and saying, after I have punished you, I will restore you. Thank you, Father, for your unfailing love to us. Open our eyes to see your goodness so that we will listen for your words, that your word would lead us to you, and it would help us to obey you in how we serve. We come in Jesus' name.